The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this January 7th, 2022. That's right. And boy, do we have a whole lot to talk about tonight. This is the voice of the Christian resistance. And boy, more and more are we the Christian resistance, I can tell you. As we get closer to the Lord's return, deeper and deeper into the apostasy. And tonight we have on the board Courageous Craig.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Okay, and then we have, you can go to the bathroom now. All right, there you go. See, he needed to do that, but there's no sense in me telling the whole country. Also, we have, being Friday night, my two very distinguished and honorable co-hosts, John and John, John McTernan and John Holman. Welcome.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners.
Well, thank you, and you don't know what a blessing it's been to me to be your hero over these years, and I will always...
Pastor Ernie, yeah. The universe is back in order now. The universe is functioning in order.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because you announced me first.
Oh, okay, that's right. We got you. That's right, tonight.
I've been crying for weeks about that. I have to listen to him crying.
Yeah.
Every time.
You know, I thought it was just a little bit over the top when he referred to that as a hate crime. you know, I didn't want to take it out here on the radio, but I guess.
Oh my gosh, he went that hard.
All righty, listen. On a very, very serious note, we want to start out tonight.
Not just Ernie.
Yes, sir.
When you have to tell the audience when you're kidding and when you're not. You know, because there might be people out there that believe that.
Well, here's the problem. Sometimes I'm not sure. So, no, but I am sure of this, that we need to get more serious here, because today I did a funeral for a very, very dear friend of mine, a longtime friend, Dan Schaefer. Dan was laid to rest today, he was a longtime friend, dear friend, a very, very faithful husband, and a very loving father. And Dan was one, you guys, I don't know, you didn't know Dan, but you would have liked him. He stood on principle. Dan was a guy that when he had to stand on a principle for something, he did. Even though to many people it seemed like, why bother? Why don't you just give in? Like so many, most other people would just give in and accept what the world is going to lay on you. And Dan wouldn't do that. He stood on principle, and I really appreciated that. And today, many, many family and friends came out and gave him quite a eulogy. They really did. They all had a lot to say. And You know, here's something that's happening, fellas, and maybe you guys have noticed this too. Recently, I've been doing a number of funerals. In fact, the last funeral I did at that funeral home in Akron was another Dan. And Dan Fritz, who was too, a long time and a very, very dear friend and a long time friend who stood on principle. And then just 2 weeks ago, I did Ed Corsi's. John, I think you knew Ed Corsi. He brought you in to speak at one of our Second Amendment rallies that we had here. And
oh, yes, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, him and Jerome Corsi. We had Jerome in here, too. The two of them are related there. But anyhow, and now just tonight, I just sent off a text and email to Denver Sally's daughter, Jackie. Denver, too, was a great, great man of principle, very, very active pro-lifer, very active in the pro-life movement. Denver was the fellow that he would go around and he would put up 144 crosses in the different churches. And, you know, he would come and we would put them up in our church. He was very active in the pro-life movement. And when I was the president of the Tea Party for four terms, he was my vice president. And just a very, very strong man of God. Again, he was a very loving father, faithful husband, and loving father and grandfather. And Denver went to home to be with the Lord. Now, I said all that to say this. I almost have a feeling that the Lord is taking those men who will stand and fight, those men who stand on principle. He's taking them home with almost like the message that, you know, you've run a good race, you fought a good fight, and now it's time for you to enter into your rest. And it almost feels like this is in advance of some things, of some hard times that are coming our way. That's just a feeling I have. It's that he's taking them home and getting them out of here because they have done their job. And so, anyhow, that's that. And Denver, I believe, will have his funeral will be Thursday, I believe. Anyhow, let's start tonight in God's Word, the Bible. And the title of the message was The Immutable, not the R immutable, irrefutable, and undisputable God. Our immutable, irrefutable, and undisputable God. That was the title of our message. And tonight we're going to finish it with the last part of this message over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. So, whichever one of you two are the oldest, you start with verse 1.
Now, Pastor Ernie, in all the years I've been with you, I think this is the best title of a sermon I've ever heard.
Is it? Well, thank you.
Yeah. I think it's powerful.
Well,
so I'll lead it.
Alrighty.
I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, his appearing and his kingdom.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Well, you know, I just finished the last passage I had preached over there was out of Hebrews chapter 1, where it referred to that in times past, God has spoken to the people in many different ways, psalms and proverbs, through the prophets, through even through burning bushes, and many, many different ways did he speak. And in those days, too, the prophets were foretellers. They were foretellers. Today, we don't have foretellers. We have forthtellers. The prophecy we have is contained right here in God's Word. This prophecy, we're told not to add to it or take away from it. And here, this is how God is speaking to us, and the Lord is speaking to us today through his word. And here, when he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is talking to Timothy. And a charge, that was a military term that he used. And when you were given a charge, you only had two ways of getting out of that charge. Well, three, actually. One is completing whatever the charge was. Two was if whoever gave you the charge relieved you of that charge. Or three, if you died. Those were the ways. So Paul is making a very important point here when he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, he's making the statement. When he says, God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's referring to, when he says God, we know that God is the Trinity, right?
Yep.
And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of that Trinity.
Yep.
Okay, so why do you think he said before God and the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, Pastor Ernie, when I looked at this, because in the Gospels, the Lord often, you'll hear him talk about God, but it's linked to the Father. That's the way I look at it. I charge thee before God, it would be the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 1, the last passage we just read, God the Father is speaking to God the Son, and God the Father is referring to God the Son as thy throne, O God, okay?
Yeah.
But there's something else here, you see.
It's linking the Lord Jesus Christ directly and proving he is God. And
well,
that's the way I look at it.
Well, it's there's something else there. Whose word will never pass away? Heaven and earth will pass away, but whose words will never pass away?
My words, the Lord, Jesus Christ's words.
And so whose words are we reading?
His words.
That's the message that he's getting out to us right here when he's referring to God, and then the message is from the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And so he's making a point there that, again, that will happen. The Lord Jesus is going to be that judge. Now, it tells us exactly here, God's word, the way things would be, for the time has come where they would, where the world does not endure sound doctrine, but follows after evil men. Now, evil men, like the mad Dr. Fauci or Gates, you see, today they've made these wicked, I mean, extremely wicked men, heroes out there today. I mean, they fall all over them. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable how the fake news media does that with these are extremely wicked men. You know, we just had another article. They found Fauci again had set up a laboratory where they were cutting the arms off of monkeys. Again, he had killed all of those babies, experimented on those orphan children. This man is a Dr. Mengele. He's worse than Mengele, okay? And so here, when we take a look at the...
You know why he's worse, Pastor Ernie?
Why is that?
Because we've got the witness of what the Nazis did. And in spite of what they did, it wasn't that long ago. And in spite of what they did, he's following in their footsteps.
Well, absolutely. But the profit margin, I've been reading from quotes from some of the people, and I probably have one of those here that I had just read. I do. Now listen to this. This is by Henry Kissinger. And I'm going to keep reading it, and eventually I think it may go in our newsletter. But this is a quote from a speech that he gave on the 25th of February, 2009. And he gave this speech to the World Health Organization's Council on Eugenics. And guess who was there? All of the big boys, right? Now, here's what he says. This is what Kissinger says. He said, once the herd accepts mandatory vaccinations, it's game over. They will accept anything. Did you hear that? Listen, forcible blood or organ donation. What he means is harvesting. Okay. For the greater good, we can genetically modify children and sterilize them for the greater good. And we can control the sheep's minds, and you can control the herd. Vaccine makers stand to make billions, and many of you right here in this room are investors. It's a big win-win for you. We thin out the herd, and the herd pays us for extermination services. That's Henry Kissinger. By the way, is he still alive?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and he's decrepit-looking.
Well,
it's right in with the humanist tenet, which Fauci is man of the year for their evil organization, and his motto is he's good without God.
Good without God, huh?
Yep.
Well, when he says here that... He goes on and he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What do you think that itching ears were? Itching ears means what?
They're ripe for what they want to hear. They want to hear what they want to hear. Their ears need to hear that, to make them feel good.
Well, no, there's a little bit more than that. The prosperity preachers, their ears are itching. They want people to tell them what it is that they can use to induce them to give more, to put more money in the plate. In other words, like you have these different things, like with Rick Warren, he had, 11 different venues, that guy out of Kellogg, Michigan, what was his name, they would actually go around and they polled people, finding out what they wanted to hear preached. And then once they did that, they would provide that venue for them. They would preach what they wanted to hear as long as it induced them to put money in the offering plate. And that was the whole purpose that Rick Warren had, and that was to induce people to put money. And someone who's probably one of the best that I've ever seen of that is Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is very good at that, okay? And so, again, when he says, and they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and the truth and should be turned into fables. But what do you think, what truths do you think that they're turning away from? People that go to these mega prosperity churches, these huge entertainment centers. What do you think the reason is that they go there?
I don't know, Pastor. It's the inducement. It's kind of like a Ponzi scheme in a way. They go there, and like you said, the prosperity teacher says, okay, you give me a seed of $1,000, and you'll get it back. And, you know, they entertain them with, like, a nightclub without beer, and everybody gets this emotional high. I mean, they really get them wound up. It's kind of like an entertainment emotional trip for them, and I, you know, they get something out of it. I'm not sure what, because I don't experience, but it's a real draw for them, and they get to talk to each other and socialize and feel good, and I guess they think that they're actually serving the Lord. I don't know. I don't understand all of it because I don't experience it, but from the surface, that's what I see.
All right, so these people that attend the prosperity, the mega prosperity entertainment centers, do these people, would you say that they would be activists, like pro-life activists for the most part, or would you say that they're looking for a place where they can get fit in into the crowd and not have to worry about ever being called on to have to get out and do anything? In other words, you know, the Bible tells you from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And so here today, you see a lot of resistance to the tyranny. It's growing. I'm going to play a couple of clips. John, I'm going to play that clip of that nurse that
spoke. You did pick that up, sir. Good, good.
Yeah, and so, but these people, you're finding out, again, that those, and it's been my experience to find out that the people they are the greatest activists out there are usually fundamentalist Christians. I mean, those that hold literally to the Word of God, and those that that truly believe. And most of those that I know of, in fact, the vast majority, you know, they do not attend 501c3 corps. They belong to unregistered actual New Testament churches. Now, that's my experience. So, in a church like mine, do you think that the church that I pastor, that you can kind of sit in there and hide in there and stay comfortable without hearing, get out and get it done?
No,
you're not going to hear that, because the name of our church is Doers of the Word. And we believe that. We really believe that, because that's what God tells us to be, doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, right? And so
the Bible clearly lays out how the Lord Jesus Christ's church is to operate. And, you know, if you don't operate according to how he lays it out, it's not really a church, is it?
No, it's not. Let me ask you guys this. If you go and you watch Joe Osteen's, or even T.D. Jakes, or Rick Warren, and you watch them, and you look at the assemblies, what is it that you will notice, well, when it comes to the two different genders we have? Folks, we only have two genders, believe me on this one. When you notice that, where it comes to proportionally, in these mega churches, what percentage are women and what percentage are men? Did you guys ever notice that?
About 60-40, Pastor. Maybe a little more.
And some is closer to 80-20. 80% are women, okay? And we're 20% are men. Now, across the board, not at Doers of the Word, not at fundamentalist Baptist churches, that's not the case, because you normally have pretty much an equal amount of men and women. But in most cases, you do have more women in the churches than men, but it's usually pretty close, maybe, like you said, 60-40. But in those entertainment centers, it's mostly women, and there's a good reason for that, okay? In fact, the reason would be found in the previous chapter, chapter 3. Would you go there, John, and read verse, read verse 6 and 7.
Or of this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
And so these women that you see in there, for the most part, are caught up in the entertainment. Now, I've talked to a number of people who go to the entertainment churches, and usually they'll tell you, well, we like the excitement there. Some will say, the preacher, he's a great preacher. But here's an interesting thing. Amongst the men, I found out that a number of them have told me, I'm just going to be honest. There's business contacts there. They've got a lot of wealthy people attend that church, and those are business contacts that I need to make. And then I've had the younger fellows tell me that they go there because that's where all the women are at. And so is that why you're supposed to be going to church? No?
No, Pastor. I mean, that's pretty... I never heard... Well, I guess that's true, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. And do we have God's word on that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We can count on that. We know that the one thing for absolute sure, there's the only thing that we can be absolute sure of all of the time is the word of God, huh?
Yeah, and those last few words there, Pastor Ernie. Them also that love is appearing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Pastor Ernie, there's a very good teaching in that verse, because look at the connection between a crown of righteousness and love is appearing. And if we really love the Lord Jesus Christ and his appearing, that's going to guide the way we live and the way we act. And we're going to live righteous. It's real hard to really, really love his appearing and be involved in sin, or, just like cold. Loving his appearing is life. It's life in us, spiritual life. So that's why we get the crown of righteousness for loving his appearing, because it does affect the way we live spiritually.
Well, absolutely, positively. And we're going to go now and go to, here is that young lady, John, that you were referred to. And here is an activist. So go ahead and play that clip.
I'm Lori Wallace. I'm a 10-year employee of New Hanover County. I worked in the cardiovascular ICU for 5 years. I was your last line of defense with COVID. We ran your heart and lungs outside your body with your chest open while you were bleeding on the floor. And what I realized was that patients were needlessly dying because of government's withheld policies for treating COVID. Everyone who died with COVID should be considered murdered. Early treatment has always been affected. I walked out of the hospital on the mandate day. I have my own practice, and I am the only person in town treating COVID patients prior to hospitalization. I also watched the entire staff at the hospital, including in my unit, get vaccinated and then get COVID, amongst all kinds of other ailments. You have now loaded your body with millions of spike proteins, and you are a ticking time bomb for cancer, blood clots, and whatever kind of ailment may come up in your body. And I'm tired of hearing people go and ask doctors, can they be treated for COVID? And their only option is a vaccine or go home or go into the hospital where you're not going to make it out. I will be happy to treat any one of you for COVID prior to going to the hospital, because early treatment has always worked. I'm a member of the FLCCC Alliance, NC Physicians for Freedom and the Medical Freedom Summit. And I would please stop choosing fear and putting masks on our kids. The vaccine is not going to work. Early treatment has always worked, and government mismanagement of patients is why people have died. And families have realized this, and they are rising up, and they are going to come after governments and the hospital. I was highly decorated and highly respected at New Hanover. I was the November 2020 Employee of Excellence, and I had a job opportunity this year from the chief medical director at this hospital, and I chose to walk out and stand up for what is right. So putting these masks on our kids is not going to help, nor is vaccination, and we all need to realize that. It is out. The cat is out of the bag, and people are speaking globally, including the inventor of the vaccine.
All righty. That inventor of the vaccine, Robert what's his name? In fact, we had a clip of him. Pardon?
Malone.
Yeah, Robert Malone. And he's the guy that invented, and he said, don't use it. It's a bioweapon. It'll kill you. Don't use it. So here, what she says, it's hard. I mean, people out there, most people we know, still don't understand that we are living in a time. They still cannot accept the fact that there are people that want to depopulate the planet. They really can't. There are so many people out there that, in fact, I know a number of them who, until they hear it on NBC, ABC, CBS, their trainers, their conditioners, their programmers, until they hear them, yes, now, we want to depopulate the planet. We're going to kill you off. But it's all right because that's what we want to do, so you need to go along with it. A lot of these people would because, I'm telling you, they have been so indoctrinated and so dumbed down. Is that what God wants for us?
No.
What is...
He wants to get truth to us. He'll do everything he can, but we need to love truth, Pastor Ernie. He wants us to be informed. He says he doesn't want the brethren to be ignorant, and that's the word he uses in the Bible.
Absolutely. And Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, huh?
Yeah.
Is there any place in the Beatitudes where it says, blessed are the stupid?
Not in my book.
No.
Hey, Pastor Ernie, there's a real serious, I want to go back to Hosea chapter 4. Which mm-hmm. you just mentioned.
Yeah.
If we read, I'm getting to it. If we read right beyond the verse 6 there, now listen to this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. You see, rejected knowledge. Isn't that what happens today, Pastor Ernie, to millions? Tens of millions. They're rejected. Look what happens. I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children.
Well, let's look at this, because what you just said, see, a lot of people, we want to open it up so people can understand exactly what he's saying there. Now, if, in fact, you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, if you're saved today, you're referred to as what? A nation of what? A holy priesthood, right? Living stones.
Yes.
So he's saying that you will not be one of those living stones. You will not be saved. That's what he's telling you here. He said he'll reject you, and thou should be no priest, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. All you know, our children are being killed off. They're getting shots. They're putting masks.
Yes. No, notice the connection. It's so obvious between those that don't want knowledge. They're rejecting knowledge. And what's happening, those are the ones that are allowing their kids or they're feeding them into the system to get those death shots.
And they don't know any better because they're rejecting the knowledge of God's word, huh?
Right. They're rejecting truth, yes. So they believe lies.
Yeah, it's, but here, you know what, you know, if you go back, let's go back now that we've got there, we started here. Let's read verses 1 through 3 real quickly, because hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, we start off by talking about God being immutable. What does that mean, that he's immutable?
He does not change.
So what he applied with Israel, he would apply his same standards with us today when he says, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. You know, I just hear all of these pollsters that come out, and they keep talking about how fewer and fewer people are going to church, fewer and fewer people are reading God's Word, the Bible, and how they'll actually look at each other, and they're kind of need an agreement, like when they say, well, I'm not a religious person, or I really don't believe in God, or I don't really have any faith. And it's kind of like, this is the popular thing to do. People will like us if we say these things, okay? It might be popular, but is it about as stupid as you can get?
Yeah, to not believe that, you know, to not believe that there's a creator is to commit intellectual suicide. And then when you pursue the truth, if you love truth, which the Bible says if you don't, you'll be deluded. But if you love truth, God will lead you to the incontrovertible evidence that Jesus Christ is God, that the Godhead is the God of the universe, and that Christ is the only way that you can be saved from the sin of this world. That is absolutely ironclad in the Bible.
And now, God has a name for those that say there is no God. What is the name he has for?
Only the fool has said in his heart, no God.
There's no God.
So when you talk to these people and they say that, I'll say, well, you know, I got to tell you this, and trust me on this, because I really know what I'm talking about here. The reason you said what you just said to me is because you're a fool. And when you tell them that, and that's being very truthful, right? They'll kind of look at you like, this does not compute. This does not, you know, that you weren't supposed to say that. You were supposed to kind of nod in agreement with me that it's good not to believe in God, okay? And to see the look of confusion on their face. But when that happens, that gives you an open door to witness the gospel to them and take them right over in the Bible to Proverbs 14, huh? And chapter, verse 1. And so see here, this is what this says. And what do you tell them if they say, well, yeah, okay, I know that it says that there in the Bible, but I don't believe the Bible. And then you ask them, have you ever read it? And they'll say, no. Well, then how do you know you don't believe it? Because hardly any of them ever do read it, right? But here's what I always tell them. You will. The day will come. There's no chance. There's no chance at all. Not any chance at all that you will not believe every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. And is that true?
Everybody will be confronted with the truth, Pastor Ernie, by Jesus Christ, the judge, during the great white throne judgment. Everyone, Pastor Ernie.
Right. Now, he says this in Psalms 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, for there is none that doeth good. But see, here, that's a verse that a lot of people misunderstand, because they think that he's making an across-the-board statement referring to everybody, but he's not. The next verse tells you, the Lord looked down upon, from heaven, upon the children of men. The children of men. Now, there's a distinction between the children of men. God is the father of all natural-born people, but he is the God's children, the spiritual children, are not the ones that are being referred to. You're either in a spiritual child of God or of Satan. That's what it says in John chapter 8, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All righty. Now, I wanted to just real quickly hit this, and then we got to move on. But here, he says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore, now listen to this, the land shall mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, and the beasts of the field with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you a multiple choice question here. Okay, the destruction of the environment, the destruction of the environment caused by A, white people, B, SUVs and guns, or C, man's sin?
Well, it's obvious man's sin, Pastor.
I knew you guys would get that. I knew it.
It was a tough choice, but I figured it out.
All right, there you go. All right, I want to play another clip now. I want to jump over, and then we're going to move over to the January 6th. Boy, am I loaded for that. Okay. But I want to play this clip about Dr. Zelenko, Volodymyr Zelenko. He has treated thousands and thousands of people, and he's telling you, see, because, again, they're killing people. They're purposely trying to cut off Fauci and these others, and they're attacking people like Zelenko and others, actual real scientists, real doctors. They're attacking them because they're getting in the way of their making millions of fleecing the flock and ripping the people off. The entire Democratic Communist Party are in cahoots. Unbelievable. The corruption is total and complete. There is nothing. There's nothing at all about the entire Democratic Communist Party from top to bottom that is not totally corrupt. But anyhow, do you have that little clip from Volodymyr Zelenko? Here's Dr. Zelenko.
Is the bullet, it kills virus. The only problem is the bullet doesn't get to the place where it needs to be. The virus is inside the cell, the enzyme is inside the cell, and the zinc on its own cannot get into the cell. So you have a bullet without a gun. Useless. Now, it turns out that there is a class of medications called zinc ionophores, or a class of substances called zinc ionophores, and their role, what they do is they open a channel, a door, that allows for zinc to go from outside the cell to inside the cell. And there are four of them that are readily available. Two of them are prescription, and two of them are over the counter. The two prescription ones everyone's heard of, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. They're the guns that shoot the bullet. The bullet then gets into the cell, stops the virus enzyme from helping the virus replicate. So you have a gun and a bullet. Only a functioning unit, the synergy of the two creates a functioning unit. So in April of last year, Cuomo issued an executive order which was directly targeting me and my patients, because I was the only one in the state doing it, where pharmacies would not dispense hydroxychloroquine to patients. So all of a sudden, I had a gun and a bullet approach, but talk about gun control, he took away the zinc delivery system. At least he took away access to my patients. So I was forced by necessity to innovate. And I did more research, and on the NIH servers, of all places, I found papers saying that a substance called quercetin is a zinc delivery system as well. It's a zinc ionophore. To be honest, I'd never heard of quercetin. So I Google it, and I see it's over the counter. That was one of the most significant realizations in my life and probably in humanity. Why do I say that? Because now it was a cure for tyranny. Now, there are two risk factors to die from COVID. It's the doctor you choose and the government you live under. Besides that, there's no reason a person should die from COVID. So now you don't need a doctor and you don't need permission from the government. You can go to a pharmacy or you can go to a supermarket and buy an over-the-counter option of quercetin together with zinc and vitamin C and vitamin D, and together it creates a very powerful immune boosting nutritional supplement. According to the FDA, I'm not allowed to make any claims except that it's an immune booster and nutritional supplement. So what I'm going to say is the following. Quercetin and vitamin C together form a functioning zinc ionophore, zinc delivery system. Zinc is what it delivers, so you actually need zinc as well. You need the gun and the bullet. And vitamin D, the studies all show the vitamin D3 levels between 50 and 70 virtually eliminate hospitalizations or admissions in the intensive care units. It optimizes the immune system. So it's not a COVID treatment, vitamin D. It's a general immune health, life health preventive strategy. So you need vitamin D, then you need zinc, which is the bullet, and then to form a functioning gun, you need vitamin C and quercetin. And I open sourced all that information. I let it out there. I needed people to know about it. I wasn't looking to monetize anything. And the interesting thing happened was I got two complaints. The patients were having trouble sourcing it because it was four different ingredients that were not always available in the same place. They had trouble finding the right doses. It was a puzzle that was a little too complex for people to put together. So I was asked as a necessity, as a favor to people, to produce something that has everything in one package. And it made sense to me. So with the help of my colleagues, we were able to produce a substance, a compound called Z-Stack, which basically has vitamin C, vitamin D, and most importantly, has quercetin and zinc. And as I mentioned earlier, all I'm allowed to say is that it's an immune booster and nutritional supplement, which it is.
I'm going to read you fellows some very quick, just some very quick headlines. These are headlines. Revelation.
Before you do that, what was he saying? Quercetin. What is that?
Well, quercetin is quercetin. That's with a Q. Q quercetin. In fact, I have it right here. I have in the studio with me a bottle of it because I take it every day. And quercetin is something you can take every day. It keeps your immune system up. And here, activated quercetin is a unique bioflavoid derived from plant sources. The human cell culture studies quercetin has been shown to inhibit histamine release. Additional research, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it, what this does here, it opens up.
The thing is the bullet to get the zinc in?
No. What this is, the gun. See, the bullet is the zinc. The gun that opens the cells. Now, this here, I have a study here, and they have three things. They had hydroxychloroquine. They had ivermectin and quercetin. And in the study where it comes to doing what he said, quercetin come out just a little bit ahead of the other two where it come to being the gun. Okay, opening up that. But here's what a good doctor friend of mine, and you guys know who he is, said. He said that if you have the COVID, then you would take, in the morning, you would take either an ivermectin or a hydroxy, and then in the afternoon, you would take vitamin D3, zinc, and quercetin. Now, this quercetin that I buy has right in it. It contains zinc. Zinc is in it. It's like a, you know, it contains vitamin C, and it contains zinc, okay, in it. So, you know, with this, you don't really have to take the vitamin C, too. And, like I said, it's got the zinc right in it. So, he says if you got that. Now, if you have the COVID, if you have it, and then for 1 week, and then the next week you switch and you take ivermectin in the morning, and then you would take you would take the D3 and then the activated quercetin and the afternoon or evening. That's what he told me. And so I happened to run into another doctor, and she said the very same thing. She said, that's exactly what you do. So that's really... But now, anyhow, I'm going to read you these very fast, and we'll come right up to a break. Then when we come back, we're going to switch. You guys getting ready? Let's go after January 6th. We're going to be showing a film in the church, Lord's willing, here, Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 4:15 on Sunday. And so, and this is what really took place. It's at 1 hour and 38 minutes. And this was taken. This shows you, you know how all of those hours and hours of films that the corrupt, the very, very corrupt, the extremely, absolutely, completely corrupt, deathocratic Communist Party will not turn loose. Nancy Pelosi will not let this, because that would convict them. It would condemn them. And you know, the Republicans, you know, I'll tell you what. We've got some good Republicans like Jim Jordan and that Marjorie Greene and Josh Hawley. And there's some good ones. Then we have some Republicans that have been known, they can actually squash a grape in their bare hands. Unfortunately, that's what too many of them are like, both in the House and the Senate. But anyhow, and if they had done what they should have done, if they had done what if Mike Pence, and everybody's trying to justify Mike Pence saying he had to go by the Constitution makes it very, very clear, Mike. Okay, you had enough evidence there. You had enough people and enough evidence for you to say, all right, look, we want to look at the evidence before we certify this election. There's plenty of reason to believe right here that we don't do that, but Mike failed. He didn't. He, when it counted, Mike didn't have the guts to stand. When it counted, he gave in. And too many other Republicans gave in on that. So we're going to show this video. Everything that they don't want you to know, the stuff that is in this video, is what they do not, what you will not see at NBC, ABC, CBS, or any of the communist-controlled propaganda machines out there. And so, anyhow... Now, I'm going to read my headlines. You ready? By Ethan Huff, a revelation. Only the vaccinated died during the 1918 Spanish flu. A lot of people don't know that. Study. At least 400,000 people in America today have died from the vaccines. 400,000 people in America today have died from the vaccines. 3. Dr. Judy Mikovits. Fear is the virus, love is the cure, okay? 4, life insurance policies can refuse payouts for jabbed because COVID vaccines are medical experiments. And then one other I wanted to get to. A couple others real quick. U.S. military to rule out spike ferritin, nanoparticle COVID vaccine, it's called SPN, that we fear is designed to kill active duty troops and weaken America's military defense. Okay, I guess you've got 30,000 Marines now refusing to take the shot. We'll be back. We're coming up to the break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more, folks. Don't go away. More to come. A lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.